Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
And now it's time for the Friday gathering. And this week I'm joined in the studio by Fine Gael Senator and Shannon spokesperson on housing, John Cummins, Saoirse Clark, Sinn Féin TD for Longford West Meath and party spokesperson on defence, Louise Byrne, political correspondent at the Irish Daily Mirror, and Mick Clifford, special correspondent at the Irish Examiner. You're all very welcome. We're going to start this morning with what happened in the Dáil yesterday. And I just have a clip here I want you to listen to, because the Tánaiste Micheál Martin had this exchange with Piers Doherty. Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson put that recent Bernardo's research to him about the growing use of food banks, how many people across Irish society are struggling badly, prices rising, and a spring bonus has been ruled out. And Micheál Martin responded. So let's have a listen.
Because what you have done, Deputy, clever device, we all talk about the Christmas bonus. Nice political, clever device. Ah, hi presto, spring bonus. Let's have a summer bonus. Let's have an autumn bonus. That's good politics, Deputy, but that's all it is. Clever politics. Attempting to be clever, but I don't think it fools people.
Clever politics, Saoirse. What do you say, Micheál Martin thinks that you aren't fooling people with that?
I think the only person who's not fooling people is Micheál Martin, because it is the people out there who are literally struggling to put food on the table, and they are struggling week in and week out. And despite all the cutbacks that people have made, their income every week is simply not covering the outgoings that they have to make, whether that's their rent, whether it's their mortgage, their childcare, food. We've seen the rate of inflation on food has gone up dramatically as well. So while the inflation rate for, in general, has come down slightly, it still is at a very, very high level. So the people that are out there, and particularly those who are on low incomes or low hours in work, are pensioners, are carers, those with disabilities, they have no capacity to take in additional income. And it's those people that Sinn Féin want to support with this spring bonus that Micheál Martin doesn't seem to merit it.
Do you have a problem with the notion of a spring bonus, John?
Well, look, everyone in government understands that while inflation is still running high and it seems to have peaked a bit, like the cost of living measures or cost of living is still very challenging for families out there. So what we did in September in the budget was we introduced a €4 billion cost of living measure.
We know about
in order to try and help
now.
People.
So is there, and do you have a problem with the two words, spring bonus? Have you got an issue with that? Do you think it's a politically loaded term?
Well, I think what the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste and everyone in government has said is that the measures that we will introduce next week, expected to be next week, will be a combination of universal and targeted measures for the most vulnerable. And we have a track record in this from the budget in September.
And there's a track record of government leaving this until the 11th hour to make a decision, which adds additional pressure onto people. Anybody who's paid by the month needs to know today what they're going to be expected to pay out of their wages that they receive next week. It is not good enough for government to become almost a spectator in this and say, do you know what, we might get around to it at some point, maybe between now. We know that the excise on petrol and diesel is due to end at the end of February. At the beginning of March, the VAT on the electricity is due to go back up to 13.5%. People need reassurance, and they need it now.
But that's what the government is doing.
Let's
be very clear about it.
We introduced
the €4 billion.
Why did you do it last month?
In September.
Electricity credits are going to holiday homes, John.
With all due respect,
holiday homes.
If I could try and make a point without interruption, I'd appreciate it. But what we will do next week is we will bring clarity to people. It will be a range of targeted as well as universal measures to help the most vulnerable and those squeezed middle income earners. And we have a track record in that, and we'll continue to do that, because we recognise that while inflation has peaked, the cost of living is still high, and it's difficult for individuals and families.
Mick, what's your take on this? Because it would seem from what we've heard just there that no matter what the government do, they're probably on a hiding to nothing unless they repeat the €11 billion package of last September.
Yeah, and that's exactly where it's at. I mean, Sinn Féin will promise a lot, and they want a mortgage interest relief along with a spring bonus, and all that's grand. That's all fair in politics. That's the way it goes. In reality, though, the big issue I have is around the notion of universal payments at this stage. We talk about people struggling. We talk about putting food on the table. Absolutely, that applies. It applies to a minority of people. Another big section of the population are squeezed, and another section of the population feel the pinch but are able to take it. And the notion that you make big universal payments like another energy supplement or whatever we're calling it, to me, what you're doing there is you're storing up down the line for where the money's going to have to come from, and it is inevitable, as sure as night follows day, that money will come in the form of services deprived again to those who are most in need further down the line.
So targeted.
Targeted measures. Personally, I can't understand why. I can. It's all politics.
They're
looking
at the
heart of the electorate, and that's where they're targeting the universal.
Giving a spring bonus to pensioners is targeted. That is a targeted measure.
Pardon?
Giving a spring bonus to an old age pensioner is a targeted measure.
I'm not saying it's not sarcasm. I'm just saying in general, the whole thing with Sinn Féin are also in favour of universal measures as well as the government.
Well, we also do believe that there should be mortgage interest relief for those people up to a maximum of 30% of the rise of their interest only. We're not talking about reintroducing the mortgage interest relief that was there previously. We're talking about a much more targeted relief, up to a maximum of 30%.
On the mortgage interest relief proposal, I actually looked at that, and it seems very unjust what you're actually proposing. So if someone was on a tracker or a variable rate of 1.5% over the last 3 years, and they've gone to a fixed rate now of 3.5%, but they will get 30% of that difference up to a maximum of 1,500. But if you're someone that was on 3.5% over the last 3 years and will be for the next 12 months, you don't get anything. So
is bordering on the laughable. Your government is giving tax credits to people with holiday homes. Is anything that I said inaccurate? Where is the fairness in that? Your government do not recognise.
Sorka, can you just address the point on the mortgage interest rates? It's a really valid point, and right.
It is a valid point that he raises. That the way that it is that we want this structured is very different to the way that the previous mortgage interest relief was done. So if you look at the moment, as we sit here today, there are people out there. Hold your horses for a second there now, John. As there are people sitting here today, as we sit here, people paying over 7.5% on mortgages from vulture funds. That's a fact. There's others who are on standard variable rates, all of which have gone up, which are due to go up again. Now, the costings that we have put into this also allow for the potential or the not potential of the base rate of the ECB rate to be passed on by the lenders.
Typical
which is why it is that we said 30%.
Louise Burney, you want to come in?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting in this is that all week we have just seen Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil going after Sinn Féin proposals, and they seem to be doing that now. Perhaps Sinn Féin are offering too much, and they are offering the spring bonus to offering the mortgage interest relief. And I think anyone looking at it from outside Sinn Féin would say that, you know, we can't afford to do all of that. We can barely afford to do what we're doing at the minute. But Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael seem to be going after these Sinn Féin proposals all week. And it seems to be almost an expectation management kind of tactic from them to say, well, Sinn Féin are proposing this and they're proposing that, but we're not going to do that. So it's almost as if they're kind of tempering expectations, as if to say this package next week may not be what people expect it to be.
Looking to where the opinion polls reacted after the last budget and how that meant a lift for the government, and
very minor lift.
Can we just deal with a few maths here for a second?
Maths, if you were to do all of this right across the board, what would you cut to pay for it?
Well, that's the thing. Doesn't actually need to be cuts, because let's talk about this in simple mathematical terms. Budget 23 forecast, the expected general government balance is 6.17 billion. Now, if you put 4 billion of that aside into the National Contingency Reserve, the Exchequer balance is 1.72 billion, and that's what's expected by government's own revised estimate. Then go on to say 2.77 billion held in reserve for additional non-core supports.
Don't try and walk away from this. Government's revised estimate would say 2.77 billion would be held in additional reserves. Answer the question.
Yes.
How would you pay for this? You're going to repeat what happened in the budget in September of 2022. How do you pay for it?
What we're looking at doing is putting between 350 and 399 million aside for the mortgage interest relief. The excise juice extending that out far past the end of February to the end of May for petrol and diesel has a cost of 178 million. The VAT, to keep it the VAT at 9%, passed to the end of May will cost 52 million. The excise duty on home heating oil to the end of May will cost 23.
Okay, so what's the entire cost of your package?
Our entire cost of our package for them alone, you're looking at about 2 billion.
But the issue is, can we afford that?
Well, John.
Look, like there's just fanciful figures that,
no,
that
your
Sinn Féin.
Figures,
no, they're not.
No,
they're
no,
not.
But
government
they really
figures.
Are government.
And the reality
figures.
Of
are you
the matter.
The government's
the
own estimates?
The reality of the matter here, Circa, is that Sinn Féin will propose one for everyone in the audience. I know I would prefer to see Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath managing the finances of this country than Pierre Starty, who
well,
seems to dream
opinion.
Up figures on the back of
the electorate don't agree
and present
with
them
you.
Through your
Louise,
online
you want to come
machine.
Back
yeah,
there.
The issue is this, and as someone in government said to me the other day, we don't know what the weather is going to be like for the next couple of months. We have this proposed beast from the east that could be coming around the corner. If the we have really bad weather in March and April, that is going to lead more people to put on the heating. That's going to affect demand. It's going to affect supply. So we don't actually know what the prices are going to happen. And what someone said to me is you can't use all the money you have now because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Like if the prices go up, if there's another bad winter, we can't use all the money now. So I think, you know, perhaps it's all well and good saying that we'll give people the money now, but you can't use all your money in one go either when
yeah,
you don't know what the rest
what
of the year is going
to
bring.
It might be just smarter just to keep something
but
back.
But nobody is proposing that. There's still the proposal there to put the 4 billion into the contingency reserve.
What are you
so
saying about
is,
the energy subsidy?
Proposing.
Because I know you said
it's
a couple of times that it's going to people with holiday homes.
It is so, going to people
so
with holiday homes.
So how would you target that?
That? Well, we never agreed with it going to holiday homes.
But if it were
place,
to happen again
over 60,
in May, how would you target it?
It needs to be targeted at residential property owners, home, principal, private residents.
That's not going to make much of a saving.
Sinn Féin's proposal in this area.
And if you are an individual who happens to be fortunate enough to own a holiday home, why should you be getting those credits twice?
That's
when
fine.
There is an older person
I think
there who
people,
isn't.
People would probably accept the moral argument there, but in terms of how much you're saving, it's probably not going to be a hugely significant amount.
But
for
as
the
Mick
state.
Said earlier on, it's all money that is then available to go back into services. You don't just squander money because 60,000 holiday homes out there and you can't differentiate between
but
what's a holiday home and a principal private residence.
You're making a bet that everybody will need that energy subsidy in May. They may not, and you might be better holding that money over until later in the year.
But it's government policy to give everybody.
But they haven't said they're going to do it in May.
But there's still one more tranche of the €200.
Yeah, in March.
Yes,
that's done. That's
that
is money
month.
Spent. But we're talking about what's happening in May. Are you saying that everybody, apart from holiday home owners, should get the subsidy again in May?
There are alternatives that need to be looked at there. And if you look at what happened across Europe, John can shake his head until it falls off now at this point. But he does need to look at this in a more realistic way than what government have been doing at the moment.
What's the cost?
And if you look at what we are proposing through the spring bonus. So if you look at those
low income but I don't know what your position is on the energy subsidy after the March one is paid. Are you saying it should happen again in May?
There needs to be some form of energy subsidy put out there, but it needs to be much more targeted than what it has been to date.
That's
nobody
not Sinn Féin's
can stand
policy.
Over.
Sinn Féin's nobody policy is an uncosted cap, which was rubbished by the markets in the UK and ultimately
no,
resulted in the resignation of the Prime Minister and the Chancellor.
Coherent government
can
and
I
a
ask
lack
you,
of a coherent
John,
tax policy in the UK that is continuing to be felt by people
the
there
today. The excise duty on fuel, on petrol and diesel. Now, if that is to end as it is expected, unless it is extended, that's going to be hugely significant for people. It's 21 cent a litre on diesel, 16 on petrol. That's going to be a huge shock for people.
And no decision has been made on
what
that.
Do you think should happen?
Personally, I think if there's to be a change in that area, that it should be tapered, that we have to look at a tapering off of the support in that space. But ultimately, that's a decision that will be made by Cabinet.
So people
we had
might
the Cabinet, Cabinet Subcommittee meeting last night.
Let's talk about what tapering might look like. So you might see 10 cent on your litre of diesel.
It could be done
and
over
another
a,
10
over
cents
a
down
period
the line.
Of time. I'm not going to work
That's
it out here on
that just simply isn't going to work because what you're going to have is people in constituencies like mine that have no alternative but to use their cars or their vans because there is no public transport.
Well, what
being
we've
the
said
ones
is
who
there will be no
cost.
Cliff edge. Like with the Taoiseach has been very clear that there will be no cliff edge here in terms of the cost of living supports that have been put in place. And, you know, that's a possible avenue that can be examined by Cabinet. There's tough decisions to be made over this weekend.
Like no cliff edge,
we will
John,
be
but
very
you might
clear.
Be expecting
we will be very
people
clear on
to slide
these next
off
week.
A fairly steep hill, you know?
And I think, honestly, when people go to the petrol pumps over the last 9 months, you know, they probably don't realise that 21 and the 16 cent is on that.
They know about it if it comes back.
But they'd know about it if it comes back, correct. Mm-hmm. So we're cognizant of that fact, and these are the things that have to be examined and will be examined, and it'll be very clear from next week.
OK, let's move on to housing, and in particular the eviction ban, because there's plenty of speculation that it's going to come to an end, and there are claims today in the papers that there are some in the higher levels of government who believe that if it were to be extended, that there would be a legal challenge, a challenge in the courts. Do you think, John, that there is a way that the eviction ban could be extended if, on the other side, landlords and property owners were given some sort of a tax break?
I think we do have to look at the taxation space in relation to landlords. It's something that I've been, you know, advocating for quite some time. I know the NESC report that was published during the week, I haven't seen sight of it, linked, you know, favourable taxation with increased length of tenancies for tenants. And I think anything in that taxation space would have to be, there would have to be a corresponding measure there for tenancies.
Do you think it should be extended in relation to the eviction ban?
It's a very delicate one that has to be analysed in great detail. Mm-hmm. and
be
very carefully examined, because there are pros, obviously, in terms of protecting people from going into homelessness, but there are potential serious downsides in driving more landlords out of an already constrained market.
Do you think your own personal opinion is that it should come to an end?
It has to be carefully weighed up, Claire, and will be carefully weighed up by government.
What is your own personal view on the eviction ban? Should it be extended?
Well, if there is an extension, I think there has to be something done in the taxation space, as you've said, and a corresponding tenancy benefit as well.
So if the moves aren't made on the other side, you're saying the eviction ban should end when it's planned to end?
It's a crude measure, and obviously there is, it's not all to end in April, or at least not due to end. It's to be spaced out over a period of time, depending on when your termination date up to May. So it's a very difficult one. I know Sinn Féin's proposal is to extend it until the end of the year, but does that mean that end of the year was said by your housing spokesman, but does that mean then that come that time that you have a glut of landlords leaving the market right in the heart of the winter, and more people are in homelessness at that point?
Because that is always the argument against extending the eviction ban or putting it in place in the first time, that you're just delaying the pain. When it comes to an end, whenever that may be, you're going to have problems.
Look, there's a huge need for reform, the whole thing, the whole business of tenancies and security of tenancies. That definitely has to be addressed. Personally, I think before you end the eviction ban, the other issue to it is this talk of legal challenges.
Yeah.
We have been in the area of property, and particularly anything to do with private property versus the common good, that whole space, for the last 50 years, there has constantly been occasions where somebody says, we cannot do that, there's a constitutional challenge, constantly going all the way back to the Kenny report, and constantly it has been shown in the long term that is not necessarily the case at all. So if they're trying to soften people up with this talk of being susceptible to a legal challenge, I'm afraid I don't buy that anymore.
Doesn't wash with you?
No, I don't think so. And let me put another way to you. Let there be a legal challenge. Go and have the thing established and set some precedent if it's felt that that is necessary, if it's more than just the threat that we've constantly seen about that whole area, because it's been used continually by governments down through the years.
Yeah, and if, sorry, the eviction ban delays the inevitable, why bother extending it?
Because what happened here, Claire, is that the government have missed the opportunity, because an eviction ban needs to come with two sides to it, OK? The first one is, yes, you put a ban in on eviction, and the second one is that you ramp up the delivery of affordable rental homes. Okay, that's what needs to happen. Now, we've very strongly argued for the tenant in situ scheme, whereby a landlord is leaving if they're in receipt state supports or on a council housing list, that they should be bought, that they should be left there. Okay, however, here's the thing. Okay. I do not see a way as to how the government can actually end the eviction ban when it's due to be end, because they know as well as everybody else does that the following day what you are going to have is a glut of notices to quit. Okay. Now, we already have record homeless numbers. If those notices to quit do play out to the tenant actually having to leave their property, remember there's a huge amount of local authorities out there who are now telling people that if they leave their homes on the day as legally required by the notice to quit, that they will not get homeless supports. Where are these people physically meant to go? Where is it that they're meant to live? So we need to see that ramping up, particularly around that new technology around modular homes. That can be done quite easily. I think if the government do find...
Because you said earlier that Sinn Féin's policy is to have this extended until the autumn. Are you saying that all of this could be in place, an increase in supply by then?
But there's no reason why it shouldn't have been started by now. I mean, the rapid turnaround for a modular home, you're in the realm of weeks. You're not into the realms of 6 months, 7 months, depending on the technology it is that you use. So you could be looking at 14, 16 weeks and you would have a delivery of properties. That's just the way this technologies work.
Yeah.
There's ample amount of state
land. You can't just plonk a rapid build home in the middle of
the field. When we see the issues with the accommodation for the international protection seekers and the accommodation for the Ukrainian refugees, I think it might be very simplistic just to say, well, we can get them turned around in weeks.
What you're doing is you're using infrastructure that's already there that hasn't actually been used.
What infrastructure?
But then why isn't it being used? Why hasn't it been used before? And why hasn't it been used for international protection seekers? Why isn't it being used for Ukrainian refugees?
At the amount of, and I can say this, I know this for a fact, in my own constituency, we have a number of housing estates that were never completed that have the actual infrastructure in there for the sewage, the water and all the rest. It's using half of what's there already, and you use the new technology to ensure that there is that wraparound and that delivery is actually increased. Because without doing both, all you are going to do is delay those notices to quit actually arriving in. And we know the majority of landlords that I speak to who are waiting for this eviction ban to actually end are ones who want to exit the market. They are accidental landlords. They are landlords who
have purchased a buy-to-let. So then why not put the supports in, as John was suggesting, in tandem with ending the eviction ban?
As a buy-to-let. And now they've come out of negative equity because government policy has seen house prices skyrocket.
So would you not, do you not think the state then should make it more attractive for them to stay in the buy-to-let market?
But they don't want to stay in the buy-to-let market.
Because they're not making enough money. I mean,
that's a misnomer put out there.
But okay, if you have all of these landlords queuing up to leave the market circuit, why not try to convince them not to leave the market?
Because it's their personal choice to leave. But if you look at that network,
one thing, and I don't agree with this, but I've certainly seen it out there. One thing some people suggest that some of those are leaving it because they're predicting that Sinn Féin will come into government and they'll have a very punitive aspect. Now, I'm not saying that would happen. Personally, I don't think
But they're already leaving in droves under the current government.
How do you reassure these landlords, not, I'm just saying about Sinn Féin, but in general terms, to make it attractive for them to stay inside?
Because the vast majority of small landlords that I speak with don't want to be landlords. They became landlords in some cases because they inherited property. It was never their intention. They never seen it as a business opportunity. It's the truth. It's a circumstance that they have found themselves in. And for those who did have buy-to-lets, when they were in negative equity, they didn't have any option but to retain that property as a rental property. But they're now at a position where they can break even, perhaps make a small profit, so they are choosing to exit.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, no, Mick makes a valid point in relation to what Sinn Féin are proposing, and we see that with the...
I didn't say what they're proposing, it's a perception.
But also, the perception is that things like the three-year rent freeze that, you know, Sinn Féin and opposition parties bandy about out there, we don't have to look too far away to Berlin, to the left-wing government. They introduced a five-year rent freeze to much fanfare in 2020. What happened 12 months later? It resulted in a 50% reduction in rental supply, and it was struck down by the Supreme Court. So that's not John Cummins saying that. That's just a fact of what happened. So is Sinn Féin seriously proposing something that in a constrained rental market that we'd propose things that will actually make the situation worse?
I just want to come back to something Circa said earlier, that there is a queue of landlords waiting to serve eviction notices the day after this ban ends. Do you agree with that?
There was no restriction on notices being served during the period.
Under certain circumstances,
the notices could still be served, but the determinant the end of the tenancy was between April and May. If your termination notice was beyond that, well, then it didn't actually factor
into the
equation.
Okay, let me put it another way. So, are you expecting to see a surge in evictions once the ban ends?
Well, I genuinely think that we have to put measures in place to try and ensure that we keep as many landlords in the market as possible.
That means make it more attractive for them to stay. Circus, they're gone anyway.
Well, that's a defeatist attitude, to be perfectly honest with you.
And like,
are we just going to throw our hands up in the air and just say, look, let's try to remain a landlord
when you have clearly made the decision in the best interest for yourself?
Let's be clear, Sinn Féin are trying to force people to remain as a landlord because they want to extend an eviction ban.
And also,
you're trying to keep them in a landlord as in perpetuity. That's your policy.
But you want people as tenants into perpetuity.
Sorry, that is Sinn Féin policy.
Can you just, John, I just want Circa to address
the
that
eviction
point.
Ban needs to be extended, but it needs to be coupled by that ramping up in the delivery of affordable homes.
But do you see, that's what's key, because one isn't going to work without the other. You're saying that they've made their mind up to leave, but then you're saying, on the other hand, you're saying let's force them to stay.
Even though they don't want to do it, which is your point earlier. No, but if there is any landlord can sell the property, and they should be allowed to do that, and if there is a genuine case where there is somebody who's got to that point,
but you can't do that if you have a rent freeze in place.
Rent freeze and eviction bans are different.
Yeah, things.
But if you have a rent freeze and
the government needs to take this opportunity to do both and to actually make our housing structure one that actually fits. Because if you were to listen to government and listen to the narrative that comes out, everything is, oh, well, it's never going to get any better than this. This is as good as what it is that we can do.
That just simply isn't true. There is a better way of doing things. Housing for All is to increase supply to 40,000 homes by the end of the decade. We have managed to go from building less than 5,000 homes in 2013 to nearly 30,000 homes last year. By any objective measure, that shows that the trajectory is in the positive territory, and we need to continue to move in that direction at an affordable level.
We'll leave that there. Just a few minutes left. Mick, we know the news this morning on this potential deal on Brexit. I mean, how hopeful are you hearing what the DUP are saying on the one hand, and we've Mary Lou MacDonald in the last little while saying that it's game on for a Brexit deal. Do you think we're at that place?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's quite obvious Rishi Sunak does not want a trade war with Europe. Europe does not want a trade war with the UK. They've both come to a position where they're willing to sit down and have the thing done. It's really, the ball is very much in the court of the DUP. And it's, I'm not totally confident they're going to go along with it, because ultimately if they do, they walk into an assembly whereby for the first time Sinn Féin hold the First Minister position. That's the way the electorate decided. But whether the DUP are yet at the point where they will do that, you don't know what the DUP, you can't predict anything.
Does it sound to you though that the EU is going to disregard the DUP position here and go ahead with a deal?
That's very possible too, absolutely. It could well end up that way.
Sorka, what's your view on that from what you've heard this morning?
I think we're significantly further ahead than where we were yesterday, and that's to be welcomed. That is a very positive step. I mean, the protocol is the only deal in town when it comes to the Brexit, I mean, and people have to remember the North did not vote in favour of Brexit. So we are very much further ahead of where we are. Are we close to the finish line? I would say not yet, but we're very much closer than what we were.
All right, we have to leave that there. Thank you all of you for coming in this morning, and a reminder that you can listen back to this item and all of our shows on the RTE Radio app, or you'll find us at rte.ie/podcast. That's all for today and for this week. Thank you for listening. The programme was produced by the series producer Alistair McConnell, research by Emma Cawley, our broadcast coordinator is Louise Kerr-Ross. Pather Carney was on sound today, and it's over now to Louise.
Thank you very much.